Good morning again. So glad you're here. You know, I feel a little bit bad because I mentioned earlier that, it's summer and we just usually is this weekend. It varies when it hits, but everybody goes away at one time and talked about how many families we, it's actually, it must be the second service because you guys are doing pretty good. We had pretty good attendance this morning, but, summertime is that time, isn't it, where we never know who's going to be where and what they're going to be doing, and everybody's excited to get out and celebrate and go off to the beach or wherever it is that they go to. When I was an 18-year-old high school graduate, I wanted to do something fun with my summer, and it was after my senior year and something fun, something maybe a little outrageous, and so I signed up with a missions organization. And that particular missions organization is pretty large. I think it's still in existence out of Florida, but it's international. I know it goes to every continent. It goes to lots and lots of countries all over the world, and so it's kind of exciting, to have your choice of all these places to go and spend your summer months. And for me, I had to boil that down to two basic criteria. One was it had to be, exotic and cheap. Because I was in high school, I didn't have a job, I had to raise support for that, and so my choice was Jamaica, and we have Jamaica up here, don't we, Chris? So, beautiful place, some of you have been there, so I'd be spending 2 months in this tropical paradise, and little did I know, out of that two-month period, I would spend exactly one day at the beach in Ocho Rios. All the other 59 days of my stay there were up in the mountains, in the poor area of Jamaica that nobody typically, few people see life up there, where there are lots of villages and things throughout the mountains. We were building facilities for a mission complex up there, but it was a life-changing experience for me. And I wouldn't trade that summer for the world because it influenced what I was going to do. I was already headed to school to go into the ministry. But after that summer spent in Jamaica, I specialized in missions and cross-cultural work and decided to become a full-time missionary. I was going to spend the rest of my life, at least at that time I thought, going to the ends of the earth with the message of Jesus. That's what I was committed to. And it all comes back to something Jesus said in his final moments while he was here on earth. These words that we're about to read, they're after Jesus decided to go to the cross and then went and died for our sins. It's after he was raised back to life, which was an even bigger deal. It was after even over a dozen appearances over the course of 40 days that Jesus, after he was raised back to life, appeared to a bunch of people, talked with them, ate with them, all these sorts of things to prove that he was still Jesus in the flesh and he was indeed resurrected fully. It was amazing. So in those final moments before he ascended up into heaven, Jesus explained what had happened and even more importantly, what was supposed to happen next. So Luke chapter 24, if you've got your Bible there or you have your Bible app on the phone or iPad or something, turn to there and read with us. Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 46, Jesus says these words, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem." So here's the next step of this master plan. Jesus says that this amazing offer of forgiveness and salvation be proclaimed to all the nations. So who's going to do that? Look at the very, very next verse. You are witnesses of these things. You've seen it, you've heard it, and you've received it, and now it's time to proclaim it to everybody else. That message isn't just for the disciples, of course. That's for anybody who receives what Jesus has to offer. If we believe it and we place our trust in it and we surrender to Jesus and we receive forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, we're given eternal life, we're not supposed to be keeping it to ourselves. Our mission, as Jesus has given it to us, is to make sure that it is proclaimed to everyone. And I understand that you and I did not walk the trails with Jesus. We weren't there as eyewitnesses. But there is no doubt in my mind, as a Christian believer, that I have witnessed what God is doing in the earth. Not just in other folks' lives, but in my own. I know how he saved me. I know how he changed everything for me. So how do we do that? The very next verse. Verse 49, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So something's going on here, right? They were given a job to do. They were given a mission to fulfill. And therefore, we vicariously have received the same job, the same mission. But they were also told immediately to wait. To hold on for a minute. Why is that? Because something's about to happen. Something that requires them to stay put in the city until Jesus says, power has come upon you. And just like, the end of a great TV series, that's the end of Luke's gospel. A cliffhanger that leaves us anticipating just a little bit more. If you'll pay attention to the beginning of Luke, he was written to a guy named Theophilus. You don't have to pronounce that name, but you have to know he's writing to someone here. He's giving him the story, and he leaves off the Gospel of Luke. And then he goes on to pick up in the book of Acts, the sequel. And when we turn over to the book of Acts, we get this recap in the first chapter of what was going on. You know, when you're watching your favorite TV series and they begin the next episode with previously on Lost. I just watched all the way through that again last year. That's why it comes to mind. But I'm not endorsing that show. Don't write me angry emails. But whatever show you're watching and streaming, previously, this is a recap, and that's exactly what he's doing in the beginning of chapter 1 of the book of Acts. But he gets a bit more specific with Jesus' words in that recap in verse 8 of chapter 1. But you will receive power. That sounds familiar, right? From Luke 24. You will receive power when what happens? The Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's our series together this summer. Paul tells us that when he tells us elsewhere, when Jesus came, a great mystery was revealed by God. Now, we know that there were multiple mysteries revealed by God. Nobody anticipated, really, that the Messiah was going to do what he did to reconcile us to God, to give us forgiveness and establish the kingdom. They all thought he was going to come and establish a kingdom. So there's a mystery involved there. But the mystery beyond mystery that Paul's talking about was this plan that it wasn't just for the Israelites. It wasn't just for the Jewish people. It wasn't just for them. It was for non-Jews. Sometimes what we see when we read the word Greeks or Gentiles, that's just everybody but the Jews, right? Everybody else. That's the great mystery. And Jesus tells us that the great mystery is even more radical than what they realized. God's plan here was for them to go to the ends of the earth to bring Christianity to everyone. Now, at the time, they were standing near Jerusalem, which was kind of home base for them, right? And so we begin with, tell the locals. Tell people around you. Judea and Samaria were regional areas beyond the city, and so, go tell throughout the region where you find yourself wandering. And the ends of the earth, to those who were listening that day, was probably the ends of the Roman Empire, right? Which is still pretty far away. The known world to them. And so go tell them in places that you likely have never even been before. And of course, we know that the ends of the earth lie far beyond the boundaries of the Roman Empire at the time, if you know anything about history. And his words in Luke 24 included all nations, not just known nations. And you know what's really exciting about this? Jesus gave John a glimpse of the end of time, when all this would come about, which is described in the book of Revelation. And what he describes there tells us that by the end, it actually happens. It happens. The message of Jesus does reach to the ends. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 says this: "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" That's a wonderful scene. And you know, some of you know there are lots of views on end times and how that's going to come about. Nobody disagrees on this scene. This is going to happen. It's going to take place. So why are those people, all those different nations crying out? Because they've been saved by Jesus. He did it. Jesus uses the witness of each and every Christian believer to literally reach all nations with salvation. Can you imagine what it will be like to see that? Be standing there in the midst, because we'll be there too if we're believers. To talk to those people, to hear their stories. It's one of the reasons we get all of eternity, I think, is so that we can share that together. It's going to take a long time to unpack all that. That's the vision that Jesus casts before us, that we are part of his story to save mankind. It's equal parts thrilling and terrifying, if we're honest. Because there's a lot of work to do. How are we supposed to do that? And think about the crowd that heard Jesus' words that day when he was speaking them. Think about their position. I doubt that any of them had enough money really to travel to the other side of the Roman Empire, let alone go beyond the Roman Empire to worlds unknown. And what about the places that they didn't even know about yet? Nobody had discovered the Americas yet. Nobody had discovered Australia. Nobody had discovered even, we barely knew that there was an East out there. And what technology was available to them? No telecommunications, no internet, not even Pony Express, right? Even if they did have the money to travel, maybe to the far reaches of Asia itself, it's going to take them a lifetime to get there. That's why the story is so grand, because it's not just about me or you or our lifetimes. It's about what God is getting accomplished by his will and his way. And there are a couple of details here I want us to notice about Jesus' instructions to his disciples that make all the difference, really, in this seemingly impossible mission that he has left them with and us with. These two details aren't just crucial to those disciples that he spoke them to that day. They're crucial to his disciples in every age, including us today. And the first detail is that they were to wait. Remember that? Wait. And why would he want them to wait? Well, he says in verse 49 of Luke 24, "But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." So there's a power going on here. And what power is that? He says in Acts chapter 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Then and only then are you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So do you and I have to wait for that power that they were waiting on? Well, here's the thing. The power that they were waiting for was a power that no one had ever known yet. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit in a permanent way for the first time in history. That's what Jesus accomplished. God's indwelling us as his temple rather than the temple downtown. Each of us receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. And Acts 2 goes on to tell us how the Spirit first entered the lives of those people in the upper room. You can read that later on today. It's a great read. And how they came out and miraculously they're proclaiming the good news about Jesus in languages that they had never learned before. And after Peter preached that first gospel message, it must have been pretty effective power of the Holy Spirit, because 3,000 people were in that church on the next day. And since that time, the Holy Spirit is given freely to every believer who surrenders their lives to Jesus Christ. In other words, that power is already in the lives of Christian believers today, so we don't have to wait. But what we do have to do is pray for it. To pray for it. Because prayer does a couple of things for us. First of all, it helps us to understand that it is not by our power that we're going out to tell other people. It's his job in and through us. So it takes the pressure off. We don't have to be a professional. You don't have to be ordained. You don't have to know scripture front to back. I know. You know what? The most effective part of a person's life of witness is in that first year or two of their life with Jesus. The further we go down the track in these years that we spend with Jesus, the less effective we are. Not because we don't want to, but because we tend to start hanging around with Christian people. And we love it that you're here. We want our church to grow. I'd love to have a third service. Some people faint when I say that. And I'd love to have a third service because we just can't pack them in. That'd be wonderful. But you can't spend all your time here and be faithful to Jesus' mission. We have to be alongside people that we're sharing with. And we can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can only do that by praying for it through us. Let me tell you, no movement of God, no revival in the church, no great awakening in any nation has ever happened without God's people coming before the Lord in intense prayer for it. The second detail of Jesus' instructions to us is a little more obvious. When Jesus says to them, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, he's giving them a clear strategy. Jerusalem was local. Judea and Samaria was regional. And the ends of the earth, we all know that's global. But notice where it begins. It begins right at home. Many of those who heard Jesus' words that day would really never travel beyond Jerusalem. Eventually, there would be a reaction against the church, and there's what we call the diaspora. They just cast out, and they had to leave because of persecution. But some of them never left Jerusalem. And some of them might have traveled, especially after that persecution began, to the surrounding area and region. But fewer still would really be able to traverse the entire Roman Empire in their lifetime. But Jesus didn't require all of them to go that far. He only required that all of them tell their story. That's what being a witness is all about, telling your story of salvation to somebody else in your life who really needs to hear it. So who needs to hear your story? Better yet, his story in you. Because it really belongs to him. Not every believer is going to go to the ends of the earth to tell their story, but every believer is required to tell their story to someone. And the only way we fail to fulfill Jesus' calling on us is that we tell no one. You know, after I spent my time in Jamaica as a young man, I trained to be a foreign missionary, and when I met Dawn, she was also conveniently training to be a foreign missionary. My luck. And so we were privileged to spend a portion of our lives in places that are so far to the ends of the earth that if you went any further, you'd be coming back. But we did come back. Why? Because we know in our hearts that we are still fulfilling Jesus' mission to reach the ends of the earth right here in Centre County, in Belfont. And I don't feel any less like a missionary here than I did when I was in Africa. Because wherever I find myself, I know that Jesus simply wants me to tell his story. And yeah, you can argue that Africa and Australia are the ends of the earth, but you know what? Africans in Australia consider you to be the ends of the earth. And to those people listening to Jesus in Palestine 2,000 years ago, all of us are the ends of the earth. They couldn't have imagined where you and I have lived our whole lives. What matters is that wherever we are, we start right here, telling our story, telling his story in us. Let's pray together. Father God, we are so grateful that you continue to write your story on the hearts of believers all over the globe, in all times, in all eras, in all languages, in every tribe and tongue. And Father, we know that your church, your witness, has still to reach some of those really far away places that we don't know of quite yet. But we trust, Father, that we are continuing your mission when we tell our story right here where we are, when we support those who are able to work regionally and even globally, continuing to tell your story. And Father, we are thankful that we get this picture in Scripture, this image of being part of something entirely bigger than us. That those people we've been praying for and about to receive salvation, Father, you're having your influence on them. And that we may be a part of that witness to them, that we may share Christ with them, and we hope that you do. But Father, you've got many ways of reaching everyone, and you continue to do so. Help us, Father, to be caught up in that story that you're telling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.